Hour on WNYC, about to take your calls. If you're a motorcyclist, if you're a biker, with your motorcyclist Bill of Rights and Responsibilities, given the talk that's gone on in the city after the West Side Highway road rage incident the last few days. And, wow, there are a lot of public radio bikers out there, in case that surprises anybody, because our lines filled up right away. Sandra in Queens, you're on WNYC. Sandra, thanks so much for calling in.
Hi, I have a lot to say, but I'm going to try to keep it really brief. I ride a motorcycle all day because I use it to go house to house to visit my patients. But I also want to say that we need to get together a big, like, motorcycles, I don't know, and round table. But the groups have different needs. So you have the group that was riding was like a big group of minority riders. They have different needs than your commuters, because there's a great organization called the New York Motorcycle and Scooter Task Force, but they're working on parking, whereas these guys need to work on getting licensed and having places to maybe stunt. They need a stunt park. I've gone to stunt shows. They close it down immediately. So you need to have places for people to get their needs met, and we all need to come together. So because in New York, you have to ride in formation. No two bikes can be abreast. Mm-hmm. So the word needs to get out to the group that I saw. Because I went that day to try to ride with that group. When I got to the meeting place, it was a police dragnet, and the police were there with a wagon to pick up as many bikes as they can.
Huh.
I also got pissed off because when I was riding there, the bikes heading towards it were riding so crazy. I was like, this is insane. So we need to do something. People need to get licensed. But to get the license in the state and get the training, it's $350. A lot of guys can't afford that. Other states do it for free. So a lot needs to be done, but we need an organization that can work on the needs of all the different bike groups.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC taking calls from motorcyclists. We had to dump out for a minute there because Sandra accidentally said a word that isn't allowed on the radio. Sorry about that, Sandra. I'm sure you didn't even realize you did it in that case. But let me ask you one other thing, because you were talking about the stunters, and I think that was the issue in that incident, that so many people had gotten together to try to have this stunt day on the West Side Highway and to go close down Times Square and all of this other stuff, and they were slowing up the SUV and other cars so that they could have a clear stretch of roadway to do the stunts. Were you suggesting that there be some kind of motorcycle stunt parks where they can do it?
They have it in other states, and they have it for the skateboardists. So it's not that. All they need is a block. You need a stretch of maybe 1,000 feet, and that's fine. You could use they can close off an industrial park. Blocking an industrial park. There's mm-hmm. one in Queens that people try to use. There's no one. It's a dead end, and there's cops run them away. So what do? They close off the West Side Highway.
So, Sandra, what would you put in your bill of responsibilities? You did a good job of articulating some needs there for the bikers.
Okay, you have to have a license. Everybody needs to have taken the rider safety class. But if so, it needs to be affordable. Other states subsidize it. Let's subsidize it. They take a registration from us every year. We have to pay to register our bikes. You don't do that for a car. That money goes towards general mm-hmm. New York services. It should go towards the needs of motorcyclists.
How about no slowing down on the highway and playing chicken with the cars behind you?
For people to ride, just like the bikes did those critical masses. We need to do a critical mass, but it needs to be a protest ride as opposed to just people getting together.
Sandra,
so to get our needs met, we have to take civil actions, but it needs to be done organized.
Thank you so much. Please call us again.
All right.
And on the stunts and what they were doing, here's a clip of our guest from yesterday's show on this, DNA Info columnist Murray Weiss, discussing the plans for the event and the large numbers of motorcyclists who were expected to be present that day of the incident.
And that hundreds, if not thousands, of bikers were going to roll into New York City from throughout the five boroughs and descend basically on Times Square, obviously shutting down great amounts of roadway in New York, including Times Square, when they roar through it.
So there you go with a little of what Murray Weiss was saying on the show yesterday by way of context of what led at the root of it to the mass of bikers that wound up being on the roads and contributed to the problem that day. Paul in Maplewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
I'm a motorcyclist. I have been since 1988. I'm very active in the motorcycle community, and I have been for many number of years. The reality is, The rights and responsibilities of motorcyclists are specifically spelled out in the laws through your motor vehicle associations, and we're supposed to obey them just as motorists are supposed to obey them, and when we don't obey them, we get ticketed just as motorists get ticketed. I'm not really sure why there's a question about rights and responsibilities, because we pretty much signed up for that when we got our motorcycle endorsements.
So would it have been against the law to do what these motorcyclists were doing on the West Side Highway that day, just the very act of slowing down enough to slow traffic behind them to create a stunt track ahead of them?
Well, actually, a lot of the people that were in those videos were riding off-road motorcycles that were not equipped with turn signals, with proper brake lights, even with license plates. Now, some of them had pushed their license plates up under their fender, which is a violation of the law. The federal law requires all motorcycles to have turn signals and a light that illuminates the license plate. And when you look at those videos, you even see off-road four-wheelers that are being used on the street. So, frankly, those folks really don't care about the law, whereas the rest of us who do, you know, we're kind of not laughing at these guys. We're kind of pissed off about it.
Paul, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Did we do that again? Well, I think no? Okay. Anyway, Brian Lehrer on WNYC taking your calls from motorcyclists, and Deirdre on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Deirdre.
Hi. How are you today?
Good. What do you ride?
I have two bikes. I have a Harley-Davidson Road King, and I have a Suzuki GSX 600, which I use as a track bike.
Oh, I'm so glad you have a Harley, because we had some confusion on the show yesterday, and maybe you can clear it up, about the term hog and whether that refers to motorcycles themselves or people who ride motorcycles. And then afterwards, somebody told me what sounds the most credible, which is that it's an acronym for the Harley Owners Group. Do you know?
That is correct. It's an acronym for the Harley Owners Group. And so, at least in my mind, I associate a hog with a Harley. And actually, way back when, during the 30s, when Harley was racing, one of the mascots of one of their top racers was a hog, which is how we got the acronym and the name.
There you go. So if you own another brand of bike, you're not really in the hog or a hog.
Not necessarily, but you can be whatever you want.
And they would say it about a person, you're a hog, if you own a Harley, or that's not the right phraseology?
Well, no, you're a hog owner.
Hog owner.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you want to say about?
Well, ironically, while I was waiting, I was listening to a friend of mine, Sandra, who we're both members of the Sirens Motorcycle Club of New York.
Oh, the other woman who called?
Yes, yes.
And it is interesting to me that of our 10 lines, three have women on them, including the woman who was on before and yourself.
Yeah.
And that's probably surprising people. That's probably a higher percentage than exists in the world of who owns motorcycles, or do you think that's not true?
It's probably a bit – well, no, I wouldn't say it's probably a little bit higher, but I think more women are buying motorcycles because they see that it can be an enjoyable pastime. But to her point and the point of the motorcyclist and this unfortunate incident,
mm-hmm.
A couple of things. Number one, it gives those of us who are responsible riders a black eye. And quite frankly, last Sunday I was riding down the West Side Highway on the Harley, and you know, folks were turning around and looking at me, and I felt a little bit more vulnerable than you usually do when you're on a motorcycle on the road. Again, our responsibility as motorcyclists is to make sure that our bikes are mechanically sound, that they're registered, that we have the proper licensing. Sandra makes a good point. We need more education. We need to make these Motorcycle Safety Foundation courses affordable for all. We do that with people who drive cars. And I kind of feel like motorcyclists, even as we speak in 2013, we're still considered the wild ones. So in terms of our rights to be on the road, we're kind of second-class citizens. Unfortunately, with this incident, yes, I think that their behavior was wrong. The stunts that they were pulling or not the kind of things that you should be doing on the public roads. And there are other outlets. For example, if you want to ride fast, I like to ride fast on my race bike. Mm-hmm. I go up to the racetrack. So it's about personal responsibility. It's about being licensed, making sure that your equipment is appropriate for the road. The four-wheelers were definitely not appropriate. And I kind of wonder about the police, too. I mean, how is it that these motorcyclists can ride down the road on four-wheelers, which are not appropriate for the road and not licensed, and get away with it? So.
And for so long, when you watch that video, I know it's only 6 minutes, but it's excruciating, and it feels so long when they're riding, you know, stretch after stretch on the highway before they got off at 178th Street.
Right.
And you're thinking, where are the police?
Yeah, they're non-existent, and I don't know if it's that they just don't want to bother because it's a large group, or I don't know what
right.
the case is.
Probably not the case that day, but, you know, maybe it does come down to it really actually only does take a few minutes to ride up the West Side Highway to 178th Street, so it felt long, people knowing they were watching this video where this excruciating thing was taking place, but it was just a few minutes, and maybe, you know, there was no opportunity yet for cops to get informed and get over there, but I don't know. Can I ask you about one other thing? That's
yeah.
noise, because one of the biggest complaints, it's not a safety issue, but that people have is that, you know, the motorcyclists who really gun it or don't keep, you know, high-functioning mufflers on their bikes and seem to just kind of get off on that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the responsibility is there, or that the law should be there? I'm surprised some of the noise levels are legal.
Well, that is difficult. I have a Harley. It's probably louder than, well, it's not illegal, but I'm sure there are people who would say that, wow, that's a really loud bike. There is the philosophy in our community sometimes that a louder bike, loud pipes save lives. And that's because the assumption is that if you hear me, you're going to see me. However, one of the things that we are taught in the Motorcycle Safety Foundation courses, of which I've taken many courses and also worked for the foundation, is that we as motorcyclists have to be vigilant of other vehicles. So you could have loud pipes, and someone will still run you over. They're just not looking.
Mm. So to some degree, it's safety, and you still have to be respectful.
Right.
I'm going to leave it there, Deirdre,
and
get somebody else on before we run out of time. I really appreciate your call and your candor. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And Stephen Rutherford, you're going to get the last word. We've got about 45 seconds for you. Hey.
Yes, I'm a professor at St. Francis, Felician College in Rutherford, riding for about 30 years. I am tired of a small group allowing to paint us with a broad brush of hooligans. I have never seen in the papers, I've never seen in the news, because I'm a safe, quiet rider. And I'm appalled at the police not getting involved earlier. They knew this was going to happen that day. And I was on the FDR on that day, and I was getting bad, dirty looks as well. But I'm not part of that group. I ride a BMW, and I ride every day, and I don't do that kind of stuff because it's illegal, and they shouldn't do it. It's unsafe, and no group should be allowed to impose their will on anybody in public. Not only motorcyclists, anybody shouldn't be able to do that.
Steve, thank you very much, and you get the last word today. Thanks to all of you bikers who have been calling in. I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to get to more of your calls. Such an outpouring here for bikers' rights and responsibilities. You can post them to our website at wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, and talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.